All right, welcome everybody to the Configuration Persistency Service team meeting for October 30th. I'm just getting started here. We'll wait a minute for people to join as I note who's here. All right. Okay, I know there's a bank holiday in Ireland, so we won't have certain people joining. Well, I know Fred is in the thing. You know what? It's probably under Fred. Okay, here we go. Hi, Claudia. We're just getting started here. I'm just noting who's here. Rishi. All right. Junfeng. All right, so let's see. So we do have a modeling topic that we do want to eventually hit, but Jacqueline is not here. Let's see what other things we had carried over from last time. We had engaged, we spent the whole meeting basically talking with the SON team, with the OF SON team, which I think was a really productive meeting. And then many of us went onto the meeting, which occurs right after this one. And they continue to talk and actually further discussions they said need to happen. So actually they had, I think they had moved this out to the next one. So we were gonna have a continuation meeting on the SON stuff the following week, we had said. So, and they wanted to talk more about the XPath API and API stuff. By the way, the use case realization call is going to host the CPS API discussions, which we need to have more of, I think. But also just to share with the community some of the things that we had talked about, and Toyn had actually come up with a slide, which I don't think you guys have seen yet. But I won't go over them here because they're his slides, and he can talk to them best. So that's happening November 19th. That's a Thursday. Let me put that in the calendar here. So this is the following week. Is the 13th, and then the following after that will be on the realization call on the 19th. Okay. I see Neve joined. Okay, use case, realization call. Discussing the all right, and should probably put that here. Okay. Did anybody want to add anything to today's agenda? Okay. So all right, so Jacqueline briefly talked about the modeling stuff. And I think there's a couple things we need to talk about. The one is the marketing, the R7 marketing release. And I think we should probably take some time to work on the R8 CPS page. So we'll take maybe a few moments to work on that. Okay, so for the marketing release, let's take a look at the marketing release and people can chime in on what they think here. So, all right. So this is basically the input that the marketing team, such as Amar Kapadia and the Linux Foundation marketing team uses to come up with a description of what's in the release. So it was, I think it was kind of due already, but people yesterday in the TSC, they were still asking for it, and there's still some things that are kind of not done yet. So I think you should probably, you know, if you're working on another use case, and you haven't made an update, you should probably should make an update, but we're just going to focus on the CPS box here. So originally they had this as the configuration and persistency service. We've renamed ourselves to CPS. So obviously one of the most important things was that the proof of concept developed on R7 to demonstrate key concepts of CPS and also lay foundational software for CPS. It demonstrated read and write operations for Yang, data fragments, ability to deploy and upgrade Yang models at runtime, demonstrated CPS behavior driven by Yang models, provided an architecture vision. Oops. And roadmap for a target architecture, supported use cases, non-functional requirements towards an ONAP project, and early performance indication recurring the generic schema. And this is the in plain words benefits, right? So proof of concept developed in R7 to demonstrate key concepts in CPS, and also to lay some foundational software for CPS. And CPS introduces data layer into ONAP to store and manage network element data. I think we should also mention the project proposal here. So let me see if I can find that. Okay, let's see. Okay, so this is our project proposal here. I'm gonna move this over here, so I'm still editing it. Okay. Architecture and subcommittee TSC. What are the main things that we do? I guess we came with a lot of the architectural decisions, which we could probably put a link to.
When do you want to state that it's approved to be a formal project in Honolulu?
Yeah, so that actually is something that happened in R8, in the R8 timeframe. So in R7, that didn't happen in the R7 timeframe. Maybe we should...
I mean, we are not saying anything that it's part of R7. Okay, I mean, my point is like before, let's say the sign-off for R7, this decision was taken, right? That it will be in R8. So it's something forward-looking we can mention probably.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea. Okay. And let me see. Swami has joined. So Swami, we said, I think we said next week we would dedicate to the OF Sun joint discussion because Tony and Toyn were both out this week. So
Yeah, when and maybe, yeah, correct. When and maybe the week after, that is 9th of Monday or 13th of November, right? In the CPS call, we could take the network slicing use case discussion.
Okay, yeah. That's a good idea.
Maybe we can, we can confirm in the next Friday's call whether the following Monday will be convenient or the following Friday will be convenient.
Sure. Okay, yeah, that's something we also said we need to do too.
I had another quick point, Ben. I may not be able to be in for long. I just had one quick point. You remember last week's discussion when Shankar brought up the point of whether every component that uses CPS should be bothered about this XPath way of accessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a suggestion that was coming from my team regarding that. So I'll also talk more about that with Shankar later today in the SON call then.
Okay.
And then I'll share an update, because there is actually, maybe just to give you a high level view, there is a microservice called as DES, which is currently called as Data Lake Exposure Service. The intention is that it will be able to fetch whatever data. For example, when you want to monitor a KPI, right? The user from the UUI, they send a normal REST query. And then this service is supposed to make use of a bunch of templates and then translate this query into fetching the relevant data, maybe doing some aggregation or whatever, some minimal computation as well, and then presenting it back to the user then. The idea is that it kind of abstracts out whatever is lying at the data lake or the data layer for the performance and fault data. So we are looking at, can we look at something similar, a similar approach for the CPS also? Maybe the CPS is there, XPath queries can be underneath. Can we have, I don't know whether it can be the same microservice, because right now that microservice is part of DCIE, but can we follow a similar approach, a lightweight microservice, to which the normal queries as people do today, right? A typical SQL kind of a query, give me a cell whose PCI is this or whatever, right? So, or give me all the cells of the network. Then it will do the mapping maybe into one XPath query or a bunch of XPath queries that the user need not worry. Mm-hmm. And finally, it will give the result back. So that way we can kind of little bit eliminate the headache for the consumers. And this microservice also, we can try to keep it generic by the use of templates. Because right now, how the DES is designed is, it does not know what all queries it will get. But they have defined a set of SQL templates you define, right? Then the code need not be impacted for every new query that you have to perform.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, actually. I like that. I wonder if, is there a wiki page that describes that?
Yeah, the document I think is in progress, Ben. I'll share you the link, because anyway, there is going to be a demo on next Wednesday in the DCIE call. I'll give you the slides as well as the relevant recording.
Okay, is this a new thing they're doing?
Yeah, it's new in Guilin as part of the network slicing use case. But we thought we can borrow the concept. I mean, if not the microservice, at least the concept we can look at if we can reuse for this.
Right. Is it mentioned in the DCIE updates?
Should be in the new microservices, I think.
Oh. Okay.
There is one, right? You can see in the last, in the DCIE section towards the end.
Oh, here. Okay.
Yeah, DL, yeah, Data Lake Exposure Service. Data Exposure Service.
Okay. That's a huge concept that probably that probably deserves more than one acronym line there. that's a really big benefit, actually. I think that there should be something in the benefits section for that. Yeah, okay, that's great.
Yeah, no, the reason is like because we have done only some basic work here, Ben, but I think we can leverage the idea.
What
we are looking at is the concept, but
Right. Do you think there's any reuse in software that can be used, or just the concept that the idea?
No, we could also evaluate the software also, whether we can reuse, but we will then have to enter into an architecture discussion there, Ben, because right now, as I said, right, it's in DCAE.
Yeah.
Now, do we want to tie up CPS with DCAE? So that's a debate that you
Well, have. Not to exactly integrate the software. I mean, is there something that maybe borrowed, like maybe some functions or something that could
I got you wrong. That definitely we can look at. At least the way they have done it, right, in terms of keeping the code generic, I think that we can look at if we can borrow the
software part of it also. I mean, if they're just basic functions, and if you've written it generic enough, I mean, you should be able to just use similar things. So okay, that's really interesting. So you say at the next
I'll also ask Shankar
next Thursday's DCA call or Wednesday's the
next
fourth
Wednesday
or
DCA call next Wednesday.
Okay.
This is being developed by the China Mobile folks in our use case, Ben.
I see.
As part of the KPI monitoring functionality.
I see. And it's used, you said, for end-to-end network slicing or OFSON?
No, it's right now it's used for end-to-end network slicing primarily, but we have also extended its use for the SON use case, because again, what it is doing is it is only abstracting out the PM data, like the large network data, right, that lies underneath, which may have different forms and shapes, right, format and all those things. So for the SON use case, for the ML-based SON, what we are doing, right? We now have an interface from the OOF component to fetch the historical PM data, at least the last few samples. And for that, we use this microservice. We call this API, which will fetch us the data from the database.
Okay. Okay, great. And also, there just to... circle around, there was also a CPS meeting coming up, or a use case realization call for the network slicing overview on November 12th. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, and I think it should be okay.
Okay, all right. So did you, I didn't reach out to Ling Meng. Did you want to touch base with her?
I'll sync up with her. I think maybe between the two of us, we give the presentation.
Okay, great, wonderful. All right, great, thanks. And also, you said you had slides for this. Did you want to upload them here also, or
The slides or the content is still in preparation.
Oh, I see.
Like a few days time, I'll share it with you.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, yeah, and I can upload them to the right place and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, and did you also did you get the did you make the key updates for the OFSON here? I think I saw an entry here. Yeah, okay. You had a chance to update the marketing update for SON and slicing, right? Yeah, okay, great. So that's what we were doing actually right before this. So let me go back to that. Oh, did anybody have any questions about the...
Ben, Kamal speaking. Just for yesterday, I was going through this wiki page. I did some a small update with respect to plug and play. Mm-hmm. I was looking to the I was going through the SO code for Gwilling, and then I added some PNF building blocks.
Okay.
When it comes to activate PNF building block and deactivate okay. PNF building block. So just okay. added to okay. on top of what you have already.
Okay, great. You mean here?
Yeah. I had a question, a quick question. As far as the templates for the PM goes, mm-hmm. when you're referring to different sizes and shapes, I'm assuming that you're referring to different vendors and also implementation for PMs that could be either for the RAN or for the core. Are these templates that help to create a data dictionary in effect that the vendor would fill out? What's the process for that? Because it sounds like a normalization the way you described it.
Swami? Oh, I think Swami dropped.
I was about to, but no problem. No, I think I didn't express myself clearly, Fred. So what I meant was, one thing is with respect to, for example, we are talking about KPI monitoring, right? That was the prime motivation here.
Right.
So there could be a KPI maybe which requires some kind of summation or some aggregation across multiple network functions, or it might involve taking a couple of PM data and then maybe, dividing one by the other or doing some formula-based computation before you can present the result back to the user, right? Which can be standards-based today, but an operator might also want to look at some things more than what the standards are specifying. So essentially what we are saying is we do not know at the time of writing the microservice what is it that the query is going to contain. As long as the data can be fetched from the underlying database or the data lake, and then it can be manipulated in the form of aggregation or computation, sent it back to the user, we should not have any code impact. That's the basic premise that we started off with. So how do we want to realize that? We said, okay, if there are, let's say if you want to introduce a new PM or a new KPI, we could have these formulas or these mechanism of combining or whatever, right? It could be coming as like, for example, config policies. And then this is for the actual computation work or the aggregation work that that has to be done. But in order to query the database, right? For example, if it's a SQL database, you need to have a set of SQL queries, right? So for that, you need to have certain query formats and query templates that you have to define. So that is what I meant by the template part of it. So that basically for these new KPIs and computation, the database query also will not have a code impact. The computation also will not have a code impact. That was the whole concept with which we have started. Obviously, we have taken some steps with respect to the actual implementation, but it will evolve further as we go forward.
Okay, so what you're saying is you have a microservice that does the querying, but it doesn't know what it's going to query, but you don't want to change the microservice. You want to have some kind of a template that will either abstract or could be customized for a particular type of data from a particular type of vendor, and then some kind of a rule on how what to do with that data in order to process it, combining it with another metric, or maybe it's just a denominator and you're looking for the numerator and you have to add another term to it, and then that's the KPI. Is that what you're expressing?
Yeah, Fred. As long as if the user query is directly matching to what is stored in the database, we'll not have this trouble. But if there are some variations, right, like exactly what you said in terms of how the data is being reported by the VNFs or the PNFs, so then that's where these templates come into the picture. Because otherwise, for each customization, we would end up writing some code, right? So that we want to avoid.
So I guess I'm still not sure how you're going to accomplish that without coming up with some kind of a data dictionary. And has that been in the discussion, or? Because you're just transferring the problem, right? You're still requiring integration and format and content for the data, the PM data from the VNF, but you're assuming that it's already in the database. I'm saying first we have to get it into the right format, put it in the database, and query it when we need it. I guess I'm thinking you're thinking about the other way around, the way you're describing it. Anyway, maybe
correct, friend. So what we are looking at is when it is stored in the database, we expect it to have a certain format. But I agree to the point in the sense that we are transferring the problem, because what we assume is there is another microservice which is called as the PM mapper, which we expect to do based on this dictionary, or any normalization has to be done, right, in terms of the actual layout of the data, right? So that we expect it to be done. But okay, this is something that we need to take it up for further discussion.
At least now I know what you're talking about.
So I kind of see this as sort of three stages, right? There's something that gets data, and there's something that does something with the data, and there's something that presents that final result to something.
There's a store in there too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just with performance, we have interesting result, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So okay. I have a question. Do you assume that this microservice will be a part of platform, or it will be just a sample application that is used in your use case? What's the goal of this microservice?
The idea is we started off with the specific interest in mind, Claudio, but the intention is to be able to make it generic, so that anything related to, like, if you look at a PM, right, we typically may, if you look at your AL system, it might be like in the form of a data lake. So anything that has to be queried with as far as historical performance or KPI data has to be queried, and or even including some computation to be performed and provided back to the consumer, right? That has to, or at least the intention is, this microservice should cater to all such requests.
Do you assume that it will be possible to plug in different external databases, and especially non-SQL databases?
That's the intention. But right now we have started off with a simple MongoDB, Claudio.
Okay, so with MongoDB, yes?
Yeah.
So it's no SQL database.
Yeah.
So why SQL templates are here? I don't understand.
No, I'm saying so different types of databases, right? So it could be SQL or it could be non-SQL. So, but we need to have one example could be that we need to have the templates, right? How to query the database. So maybe I probably accidentally said that, but the idea is, how should I perform a database query for this particular, let's say, performance attribute or these characteristics to be fetched from the database. So that we specify in the form of templates.
Do you have a flow diagram that describes all this? I mean, we're getting bits and pieces thrown at us that we're piecing together, but if you could create a flow diagram or a timing diagram, ping pong diagram, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, that would be useful.
Yeah, I think we have it. Yeah, let me just check that, friend, if it's complete, because we did have that at the start when we were discussing where to place this microservice and so on. But let me check that whether it's up to date, and then we can share it.
Because I think basically you described a great idea, and now we're just trying to understand it better with all our questions, which as Fred said, if there was sort of a flow diagram.
I understand, yeah.
And let me try to understand how this new service is related to CPS. So what's the proposal? To have a common approach, common flow, modeling, or?
Yeah, so the point is, Claudio, we started off with, when we talked about CPS, the way to access, a user of CPS, if they want to access the data in CPS, right? Because it's all going to be model driven and Yang based, right? So then to do a query, the consuming microservice, right, has to be aware of the XPath and its logic and how to build those complex XPath queries, right? And in some cases, it might also involve multiple sequence of queries, for example, to achieve what you want to get. So in order to eliminate, or in order to remove that, let's say, if I may call it, right, a pain or those details of how to get what you want, rather than from a simple query, this this kind of a microservice approach could help in that abstraction, Claudio. So just similar to a REST query, you make a call to this microservice. Then this microservice job is to translate that or to map it into a set of XPath queries, maybe one or more, whatever is required, collect all the required data, and then present whatever the user originally requested. And its real use will come as and when the complexity of the XPath queries become higher. Bloody obvious, for straightforward queries, it's not going to be of much value. I think the real value will come as we look at multiple, the tree grows in size and then you have these very complex queries. That's when this will come in handy. That's what we are at least, visualizing. But yeah, obviously, it's just a high-level idea at this stage. And we want to debate or we want to get into more details to see whether it would really fit the bill of what we are talking about.
Hey, Swami, as you explained it, what about the formulas and the computation? Will it be reside in PM Mapper, for instance, which gets this data and apply the formula to for KPI monitor? Let's say, if I want to, I am an operator, I want to know the number of active UEs, for instance, or number of PDU session established for UE. So there would be a formula for this, right? Which uses some parameters to do that.
Yeah, Kamal. So maybe I will have to split the question into two parts. The computation itself, right? It could involve PM data that is flowing in runtime, in real time, right? So for example, I'm getting from different nodes or whatever I know, the number of slices. And then for this performance, for this cycle that the reporting happens, I may want to do some computation. Maybe I want to sum up all the active users across all the cells for a particular slice, right? So this is something that is happening based on the current reporting cycle. So okay. This kind of a computation where you have exactly the formula that you told, this is realized via a simple config computation policy. And the functionality has been implemented as part of the PM Mapper, Kamal. However, there are still some outstanding issues in terms of aligning it with the basic PM Mapper design. So it's not yet fully submitted to the Gwilym release, and I'm not very sure whether it's going to be part of the Gwilym release or the actual code will be part of official Honolulu only. That is one side of the story. The other part of it, what you referred to, when I have to do some, maybe the user says, okay, give me the data KPI, a particular KPI for yesterday, which means I'm looking at some historical PM data, which was stored in a database or in a data lake. And then you have to fetch it and do the computation.
Okay.
So for those one, what we foresee is it should be done by the DES, that the microservice that I was talking about, right? So it should be done by that. However, in this release, those computation related aspects have not yet been implemented.
Okay. Thank you, Swami. And I believe the formula is generic, right? I'm thinking here, in case you have a multi-vendor radio or core network, so the formula has to be generic for all, right?
That's why we thought the policy would be a good way. We have it as config policy, which then gets loaded, and that will avoid code impact. That's the concept we are looking at.
I think there's more to this than meets the eye currently. If you're familiar with the 3GPP mapper, and I haven't looked at it for a few months, it's not what it sounds like it is. It's more of a filtering function than a normalization function. What we're looking for, the analogy is like, let's say you're a customer, you want to buy a cookie, a chocolate chip cookie, right? And you have three vendors, right? They each have their own recipes and they each have their own ingredients. The recipes are how you combine the ingredients, which are the counters. So your position is you don't care how they cook it, right? Put it together, because they all have different slightly different ingredients and slightly different recipes, but you want that cookie to look, smell, feel, and taste and have the same number of calories in it and nutrition as every other vendor, even though they're starting out with slightly different ingredients and slightly different recipes. That's what I had envisioned the 3GPP mapper does, but that's not what it does. So be careful. It's not that thing that is supposed to take different vendors' KPI slash counters and make them all the same. That's what it should be, but it's not currently.
Ben, this is, if I understand Fred correctly, Ben, this is something what was discussed as part of the PM dictionary use case, right? Ben,
so basically, there, you know, one thing that's easy to confuse that Fred is kind of pointing at is that there's raw PM counter data, and some of it is, you know, 3GPP defined, and there's also vendor specific. Vendor-specific PM
Correct.
Data. And basically, every person has, every vendor and working with service providers can basically take combinations of that data that is collected. And that's the ingredients that Fred is talking about. And then basically, the KPIs are all formulas based on taking, it takes this data as input and turns it through a formula and outputs, you know, min, max, median values of, basically analyzes that data using formulas, and those are called KPIs, and that's the recipe that Fred is talking about. So if you understand that, what Fred just said makes sense, but if you're not too familiar with like the RAND PM structure, basically there's raw data that comes from base stations, and each of these, some of them are standards defined. So they say 3GPP defines that you should collect this data and that data and this data, but a lot of it is vendor specific too. So there's a lot of specific data that's tailored, the sort of unique ingredients, as it were, to a vendor. And then those are taken into an aggregate to give a better
sense. There's an algebraic formula, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think Fred was making a comment on the PM mapper function, that you would think that you would want to kind of make all of these KPIs kind of be uniform so that the end result looks and feels sort of the same across vendors, but I don't think that happens.
Yeah, so a drop call per sector per carrier on origination means the same thing for every vendor, right? But that has to be formulated based on those counters, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I don't think it's unique to the RAN. I think it's also true of the core.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So that's where the data dictionaries have to come in. Yep. And I was hoping that's where you were going. I think you're part of the way there, but I think you're assuming all that's going on somewhere, but the problem is it's not yet.
Yeah, and it's a really key thing to solve at some point. And maybe it's not, I think ONAP provides the raw platform to make that happen. And
right.
And we have to ask ourselves basically what else do we need out of the platform in order to facilitate that happening? I think no matter what, there has to be some essentially coordination between a vendor, the various vendors that a service provider works with, and the service provider, in order to make sure that these are all kind of look and feel the same. So the end result chocolate chip cookie looks and feels the same across different vendors.
Right. You don't want to do that for every service provider either. Every service provider has the same, wants the same cookie, right? If they want different cookies, then it's out of control again. Right. Yeah. So,
and I think the people like Swami, who's designing the software, just needs to know the framework, this framework, so that when they design it, that they don't design out the ability to make a cookie, as it were. So you just have to be aware of how it's used, basically how the software is going to be used, and
yeah, they want the cookie to be there, and they want to be able to fetch it and store
right,
it,
and exactly.
And so on.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Any other questions for Swami?
No, just if you're having this discussion with other teams and you come across people who are working on parts of this in some of the other working groups or in your working group, I'd like to understand how we can bring that in, how we can move that forward, rather.
Is this where, that's a good question. Is this worked in the DCA team? Is it worked on the SON team? Where is this being discussed or designed? Or...
Right. This is not discussed much, Ben, but ideal place for discussing it would be the network slicing team.
Okay. I had the impression they did the presentation in one of the architecture meetings a long time ago, I think at the beginning of the Gradient release. So my impression is that that the service is very much PM oriented and then serve the purpose for the KPI calculations. I understand the SON team want to do some similar capabilities, but it's mainly for the SON purpose. But the capability the SON wants is more how to use integrate with CPS offered API, for example, using XPath to query the data and things like that. So this is sounds like a totally different set of the capabilities on what you're trying to do. And I just question how much you can reuse the DCAE, this data lake new service that's mainly for the performance stuff. Maybe you can borrow some idea, but I just thought how much code capability you can reuse from them. So another point is you in Gradient release, you already have SDNR to have that type of intelligence sitting between the database. And so maybe that type of, like the new capability of queries through the new API with the CPS, maybe something you could consider inside the SDNR instead of
So you're saying because it's performance data centric, it's not going to overlap with the configuration focus that we have?
I question, because if you want to use that kind of idea, or if you use 100% use that service, you pretty much develop a new set of capability in that data exposure service. That means it has no difference from you're creating a new microservice, something like inside SDNR or controllers. That's just my initial reaction, but of course it's worth investigating for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I think your point is valid, Junfin, because we are also not looking at involving now this microservice as it stands today, right? Because it's part of DCAE. Now, for example, if somebody wants to use CPS, they have to do a query to a DCAE microservice, which in turn will access CPS. Right? That's a little bit of a roundabout thing. So we are looking at, borrowing the concept, and where possible, like Ben said, we need to investigate whether we can borrow any part of the software itself. And now where this microservice is going to reside, that's another question.
Right. I never envisioned it to have to go over to DCAE to use it. It was going to be transplanted and modified and used internally. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I viewed it too. I think at the, in the best case, maybe you can reuse some software. And I think, Swami had originally started off saying, let's just use some of these ideas. So Jinfeng, I don't think we're not going to go to DCAE and pull out or use the actual DES. I think the Swami brings to the table an idea, really. And, he's saying maybe we can reuse that idea within CPS development. And I just said, maybe if I was confusing people, I was saying, maybe there's some software that might be able to be reused possibly from if it's designed sort of modularly enough. But yeah, I wasn't implying that we would actually take the DCE software itself.
So it looks like we all aligned.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Just one point I wanted to tell Claudio. I think one point slipped my mind, Claudio, when responding to you. So I recollect now why we started off or why I mentioned the SQL templates, though we are talking about a MongoDB. So there is also, we are looking at desk talking to Presto, which is an SQL query engine, Claudio.
Oh, wait, what was it called? Sorry.
Called Presto, Presto.
Okay.
So, but I have to admit, I'm not an expert on that. So maybe I'll bring some folks who have more info about it. But to do the query, we have to have SQL templates, which we make a query to Presto, and then it does the querying further down to the data lake, Claudio. So that was the reason, at least currently, we have this SQL templates defined. But if you want more info, definitely I'll bring in the right people.
And does the slicing team meet on Thursdays? Yeah. Is that the?
It's on Mondays. When Thursdays is with Oran.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see. Okay. Okay, great. Any other questions about the about this?
Did you say the slicing team meets more than once per week, every week?
So the use case meeting is on Mondays, Fred, but we also collaborate, at least for the RAN part, right? RAN slicing. We closely also kind of try to align or collaborate, however you may call it, with ORAN. So this happens on Thursdays.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. So let me go back to this. I think we were pretty much done with this. And thanks, Swami, if you have to drop, I understand. So let's see. We just wanted to, I think, maybe talk about some of the benefits. Feels like we have a lot, maybe more actual tangible benefits here. So, maybe Fred from or both of Fred's from a service provider standpoint, what do you see is a like tangible, useful benefit that CPS brings to you guys at say, you know, from a service provider perspective? maybe I'm too close to the problem.
Well, I think having a taking a 50,000 foot level view is a single persistent configuration database across all vendors, and you know, being able to expose that to the different, well, I would say, network applications, whether it's SON or orchestration, that this is up to date and accurate. It's the golden config, right? And it has what's currently running. And you know, there could also be a version that has a startup golden config, but it's all centralized in one place and it's maintained in one place. That's really was the whole idea behind the TMF proof of concept that was a forerunner of this, and I still think it's valuable to every service provider, but I'll defer to the other Fred. It looks like is he on mute?
Fred Oliveira should be on the call. You know what? He's not connected on audio.
He's not
though.
Connected. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But that's really well put. Thanks, Fred. That's excellent. Actually, that's really, really good. Let me see.
Because we're today different, different databases that have different parts of configuration for different, not only for different domains, Rancor, Mac, and so on, but even for different tools that do configuration-related functions. It's the wild, wild west. We got to harmonize that.
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
And harmonize it in an efficient manner, right? You're only sending the deltas, right? When there's changes, you don't have to send blocks of configuration data, because then you have to ask, okay, well, when do I send it, right? And do I send it at midnight? Well, everything's different at midnight in a virtual world, right? Things are powered off, things get shut down, and
sure,
and things migrate, right? So
that's perfect. Let me see if I can just massage this a little bit. So, because I was typing in real time here. CPS provides a centralized single persistence database across all vendors. It exposes, it allows for the data to be exposed such that upper level, that such a different upper level network, such that different upper level applications can use that data,
You can say things like, you know, orchestration, SON, as example, service and resource orchestration, SON, and so on.
Mm-hmm. You say orchestration?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever needs to use that configuration information for the lifecycle management functions. And that the pulling and pushing of the configuration information is policy driven. So in other words, if something is ping-ponging, or the changes are being ping-ponged back and forth because there are multiple control loops that are trying to change a configuration, you know, you can put a hysteresis in, for example, right, or a threshold or something.
I think this sentence can be better worded. So similar to the concept of golden configuration. So what, basically, in your words, what is a golden configuration?
Well, the golden configuration was that proof of concept in the TM form, but it's basically all the tenets that we've been discussing. It was a starting point, right, of this work. It was having that up-to-date unified configuration database that's maintained through an efficient mechanism of just sending configuration changes, and you could either push the changes, or you can pull for them. But it comes from an atomic level within the network function itself. It could also come from an element management system, but ultimately can be pushed from the network function.
And as you said, this was initiated from the TM forum. Was there a standard behind the concept?
No, don't you remember the proof of concept that happened like 3 years ago?
Yeah. Well, you give some presentations about, and the concept of golden templates and configure has been around for a long time as well.
Well, it's how it's maintained, you know, by, you know, a policy-driven push of the data that's unique. Like today, you know, the question was, you know, it's all sent at once and it's polled, right? And that's not an effective mechanism for distributing and maintaining that information, right? And you can achieve economies by putting rules or thresholds for thresholds around thresholds and algorithms for when you get those changes pushed.
Okay.
That's it in a nutshell.
Okay, great.
And then at some point we would talk about, you know, including state information within that configuration database as well.
Right. That's a really good point. We should also mention that as a future thing we're doing. Well, actually, that was something we did in R7 as well. State management. I don't know if Bruno's on the call.
No, Bruno is off today.
Yeah. Let me see if I can try to craft a sentence here. So Bell was leading the state management POC, which was created to demonstrate
Aditya is on the call. Maybe she can.
Yeah, Aditya, do you have some words about what the state management POC is really? What's its main thing that it's really trying to show or demonstrate, or what did it accomplish in R7?
The state management POC, we had created that at the Bell site to store, the state. The state of the network details. So,
The state of the network.
The current state, the state of the network devices. So, the exact, the current state, yeah.
Well, when I that would be a part of what I was trying to capture, but I think there's more. As far as if I have a service with various different containers or VNFs that are connected together, it has additional state information that could be leveraged if I want to quickly reinstantiate that service if some of those containers or all of them crashed. Right. It could be information about the kind of traffic that was on there, who the end users were, or connections, or VPNs, or anything that needs to be reestablished. That if I think of a network function, a service going through it, there's like a chain, right? And each chain has a different bit of information in it that represents what it's doing, right? That's information that can help me to quickly reestablish whatever was running through it if it crashes, right? And that's what I was trying to capture.
I think when
I say state.
I think that sort of data is already collected in AA and AI. So the state management POC, which we had done at the Bell, was only capturing, the current state. You said the details about the service containers which are connected and what has instantiated it and all is there as a part of ANII data.
Right, but that would be part of it. But then the actual traffic parameters of the services or services that are running through it at any given time, how close can we get to that so that we can minimize the downtime of a service that was running through an element that crashed or is becoming degraded. So it's almost like looking into the state machine of the network function itself to try to transplant that information into another identical instance of it physically located somewhere else while we're reestablishing the connections to that new container from the old container. And can we do that in a way where we seamlessly don't interrupt any traffic or make that minimize? That's what I mean by state. So it's what you just described, but it's also more.
Okay, I get that. So probably then we'll have a discussion with Bruno on that.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, I think, let me see, what we need to do is actually, I think, make it so it's easier for the marketing team to figure out what ties to what here. So let me see if I can... I think some of what Fred is describing are the benefits of the state management, the long-term end results of what is useful. Let me see if I can
Well, it's two parts. It's the benefit, yeah. But also how do you, what do you, what else do you need to capture in order to do that?
Right. Yeah, the underlying, let me see. What did they title this? Just so I make sure that, let me see. Benefits, okay. and maybe I think I just need to say the benefits of CPS itself is kind of what Fred was saying. So let me see. Here. Okay, and then shoot, I'm over time. Okay. So, all right. I guess I'll just finish this, and maybe if people can stay a minute or two, notably Fred, maybe we can say, I think the benefit of capturing state management data, right, is that you could roll back here. I was kind of hearing you saying we can kind of roll back.
It has to do with the instantiation of a replacement of the container, of failed container infrastructure. Right.
Recovering failed
fault, right.
Failed assets. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to drop too, but if you want to call me later today.
I think we're at time. Okay, thank you everybody, and I'll you can take a look at this page, and you know you can update it to yourself as well. But thank you everybody for joining, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks.